Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What's up, folks? It's a lights out edition of Hitting the High Notes. Jazz talking. It's I am here. The voice that you hear on the side, I'm into your ear holes. It is Who Transfer Man, or at Jazz High Notes number 2. That's at Jazz High Notes number 2 on the Twitterverse, and this, just the Twitterverse, actually, on that one. And, you know, we're here. We don't have Dragon Squatch dealing with himself right now. We don't have Go This Is 49 as of right now. He might come on a little bit later, but we do have at Alma underscore Bean.
It's Alma Bean 23.
I had the first four right.
Yeah, you got there. It's the effort that counts.
It is. Thank you. E for effort. A for effort. All right. Well, we got Alma Bean, and we're going to talk to him. He's got his own podcast. He's doing the journalism thing. He writes for The Hive. But before we do that, we got to pay the bills. Thanks to the Believe Network and BetOnline.ag. The holiday season is off and rolling with NFL in full stride. The NBA and NHL hitting mid-season form. BetOnline is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info. With up-to-the-minute sports wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions, BetOnline is the top spot for everything pro and amateur sports. Is there anything amateur sports anymore, really? And not just the big four. BetOnline has info available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time for almost any sport that's that is played. From MMA to international soccer, head to BetOnline today and remember to use your promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And hold on a second, I think that's the sound of a quarter falling into our bank. Okay, sounds good. Paid the bills. Thank you to the Believe Network. I'm a part of the Hitting the Head Off part of the Believe Network, but also part of the Jazz Co-op. That was the term that we coined 2-3 years ago when we started doing this. Because there was us, there was the Jazz Gals, there was the Twos and Threes. There's just a bunch of other podcasts that were talking jazz, and we're all like, hey, you know what? Let's get together. Like, the only competition that we really care about is Locked On David Locke, and we were trying to let's go after David Locke, let's go after his listeners. First, I'm gonna tell some. So you are now a writer for The Hive.
Correct.
And we were talking beforehand, and they wanted you to do some podcasting to go with your articles. So tell us how that came about.
Yeah, so about 2 years ago, when I was studying at the University of Utah, I went ahead and came across this internship at The Hive Sports, and they were looking to go ahead and expand their catalog because they mainly cover a lot of high school sports. They went ahead and also started venturing into collegiate sports, which I was originally brought in for. But once my boss went ahead and found out how much information I know with basketball and especially the Utah Jazz, he was like, you know what? Focus in on that, and we'll see what happens from there. And
don't waste your talents on college ball.
I think I maybe did one article on the Utes football team, and then after that, I think I'm now about 200 articles deep, okay. And I'm in season 2 with The Hive. But this season, I was asked to go ahead and start doing a podcast just because they started realizing that they were getting more viewership through audio rather than text. So he told me to go ahead and just stick with the articles. You're doing great. You're still getting a lot of traction to the website, but go ahead and try and do a podcast. We'll see what happens. And so far, we're maybe 3-4 episodes in so far. And, you know, it's still young. You're right. Still trying to get your viewership up.
Oh, yeah.
And still the voice as well. Right. But it's still quite a lot. It's a lot for me to learn on the fly. Right, but, again, I'm still able to enjoy myself. I'm able to talk about the Jazz as much as I please and still feed into stats, numbers, any speculation that goes on. So I get to have a lot of fun with it, but right now it's just a solo thing. So it's kind of weird talking to myself for 30 minutes.
That was the hard part. I started doing this 3-ish years ago, almost 4, like it was 2020. it was before the pandemic. So, I mean, like, that feels like it was a decade ago, really.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you and I are both journalism students, but I'm, like, 20 years older. It's like, you know, podcasting was not anything that was on the forefront of anybody's mind 20 years ago. Like, I was telling you as we were walking up here to the studio that my professors were like, don't do radio. Radio's dying. You know, do PR, do TV, do print. But radio, like that's just, you know, nobody listens to radio anymore. And who would have thought that podcasting, you know, all of a sudden would be the reason that people are still listening to stuff in the cars, you know, and sports radio, politics were always going to be, have a place on the radio, So it's interesting that, and you know, you're saying you're learning, I had to learn about podcasting on the fly too. So I'm just like, what can I take from video editing and turn into audio editing and do, but I'm you know, like you're talking to yourself, and I don't think I've had very few solo episodes. I usually try to have a guest, you know, like right now, or have co-hosts come on. So, well, what is the name of your podcast? Where can they find your podcast?
So at the moment, still trying to work its way onto Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. Had to go through a whole claim.
Yes.
But as of right now, it is Highlighter Highlights. I figured I'd go ahead and lean into that joke a little bit. But it's on Spotify at the moment. I go ahead and I try and link questions and polls to go along with each episode. And with the most recent one, it was more like, oh, do you think that Keyonte George will stay in the starting lineup, or do you think he'll fall out of it? Mm-hmm. And as we have seen recent games,
very, very obvious.
It would be very confusing if we saw him outside of that starting lineup. And I think it would almost be a game-to-game situation if he wasn't in the lineup.
Yeah.
But.
And so, so Highlighter Highlights, right? You know, Spotify was really great for podcasting. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that was quote-unquote not, I don't want to say our main platform, but they did host our podcast for a while before we moved over to Believe. And so, so great. Spotify is good. And then, again, as you're finding out, the Apple podcast is tedious. But once you get there, I think you'll see some numbers shoot up. A lot of people like to use the Apple podcast to listen. But Highlighter Highlights, obviously, oh, boy. I mean, there's so many things that we can talk about with the Jazz. The Jazz rebrand comes up, and it's like, oh, boy, the highlighter yellow. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about some more other frustrating stuff from the Jazz. Listen, we'll quickly, I'm gonna touch on the Jazz. They lost by a little bit less than 20, but they were down by 20 points or more.
They were down by 25
to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah,
on the road, the Jazz still not a good road team, not that great of a home team, but just awful on the road.
I mean, out of the six games they've won, five of them have come from home.
Right. Yeah. I just don't know if they look amazing. I mean, this is my subjective, like, oh, they're fine at home.
I mean, they've only won one game on the road and funny enough, it was against Memphis.
Right.
And now this go around, they play Memphis, they lose by 14.
Memphis is a team that has three wins, missing John Morant. This is the desperate teams, right? Like, who's more desperate to win a game? And
they have enough emergency contracts right now that they can go ahead and have their own pickup team.
Maybe it was Memphis just and maybe the Jazz, I don't know, like, maybe the Jazz just didn't have a ton. They looked okay in the first quarter, and then it steamrolled.
The first 6 minutes, they looked like they were going off of their previous success in their last two games against the Pelicans. Like, they just looked like they were sound, they were getting the ball movement with ease. And just as soon as he went ahead and had that bench unit come in, it just seemed like they just lost all faith in that game, and it just carried on through, especially even when you got into the second quarter. They got outscored by, I want to say, 19 points.
Yeah.
I think it was like 36-17 was the scoring differential in the second quarter, and Memphis just was shooting lights out. It was turnovers galore for Utah, and you just never saw them come back. Mm-hmm. And there was the late resurgence, if you really want to call it in the fourth quarter.
They
Colin Sexton went ahead and tried to make things at least closer. They put him in within 18.
Right. Yeah.
But
try to get that spread down.
Yeah. But I mean, like, with
point differential.
Yeah. Point differential. wrong game. But it just seemed like they were out of it so quickly, and as the Jazz have been known to do over the years, they always play down opponents that they are supposed to essentially obliterate. Mm-hmm. So I just think that this was one of those games. You had a lot of factors as far as Memphis's roster just having those emergency contracts, not really knowing who your starting lineup is, what the rotations are going to look like. But then Utah, just it seemed like some of their players, once they got down to a certain point, they were like, oh, I need to be the person to get us back. And
we have a lot of that.
Yeah.
We have a lot of I'll be the hero, you know, hero ball and all stuff, which is funny because Donovan Mitchell no longer on the team. And yeah, it's like one thing that you said that was because like your podcast and your articles, you're the numbers guy, right?
Correct.
Like, as you aptly said when we were starting to record, you guys are more speculative, and you're the hard numbers guy, and that's true. You're right. Like I tell my co-host all the time, like that we don't do that here. That's not our thing.
I mean, I'm fine with being a little more relaxed though.
But yeah, and like. You know, when you said, I'm like, oh, the Jazz should obliterate this team, I'm like, oh, should they? Like, my expectations 2 weeks in have already done a 180 for this team. Like, I guess I was optimistic when the season started. I was like, oh, I think they can be a play-in team for sure. Like,
I would say at the beginning of the season, I was probably on that same boat.
I thought top eight team, and then, three or four games into it, I'm like, oh, okay, this team looks like the what we thought they were going to do last year, which I wouldn't say I was, like, shocked. Maybe a little surprised, but also, like, you know, the beginning of last year, I kept saying this is going to be a long rebuild for the Jazz. Like,
and the next thing you know, they went 12-4, and they're in first in the West, and for a team that was not expected to do anything.
Yeah. But even then, like last year, I was like, look, I was so mad. If you listen to this podcast and you know how mad I was last year, and really I was mad last year because I don't care how really good the Jazz were last year, it was always like this is what I thought the Jazz were going to look like for the next 2 to 3 years. And which is, in my opinion, that's fine. Like, I get it. People don't like to watch losses. It sucks. But if you want to try to complete a rebuild, you have to let the, we're letting Keontae learn. We're letting these guys, find their places. We're getting mismatched people. John Collins, Lauri Markkanen. We have four combo guards on the roster. We traded away some of these veterans that could have helped us be at least a playoff team, because when you're trying to build from scratch, you're just like, oh, the wins losses don't matter. And so that's why I thought maybe this year, last year, maybe even the year after this, like we're gonna have some rough years of watching bad basketball, because the grand plan was like, hey, we're gonna develop young players, we're going to gather assets and figure out ways to flip them for other assets, bigger assets, hopefully. And I still think the Jazz's plan is still in there, and it involves the Jazz just not looking good. And they haven't looked good. I mean, they looked great against the Pelicans. Like, they had two close games. They fought. But then they had this game against Memphis, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is a team that just has a lot. Like, what do you think? Why do you think the Jazz look so bad today?
Well, my reason being, and I'm sure there's probably a decent amount of people that would agree with me with this, is that there is a lack of leadership on this team. And granted, going into the season, Will Hardy went ahead and said that his expectation is that Lauri Markkanen will be the leader of this team. But Markkanen's not an outspoken guy. He's a shy guy, in my opinion. And if he's going to talk to anybody, he's going to pull them off to the side and be like, hey, this is what we need to go ahead and change, and so on and so forth. But one guy that's really stepped up as far as leadership goes, and it's probably not seen as much as Markkanen doing what he's done so far, is Chris Dunn. He's been able to just lift up all these different guys, and especially with Keontae, whenever he's down, I went ahead and came across a video where Keontae came to the bench, didn't speak to a person, didn't high-five him, very uncharacteristic of him. But the moment Chris Dunn came up to him, lifted his head up, started talking to him, got him back into the game, and then next thing you know, he went ahead and popped off and got his 19 points, getting
his career high. Chris Dunn is the old guy on the team, isn't he?
So Chris Dunn, he's, what, 28, 29?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess for this team, you can consider him the older guy, because, right. I mean, you got Kelly Olynyk on there, who's 30, 31. Yeah. But, I mean,
I guess Clarkson, but, like, I mean,
Clarkson,
but. But Sexton, like, all the main, like, guys are.
Well, I mean, Colin Sexton's, he's only 25, 26.
That's what I'm saying, like, he's young. Lowry is 27. But like pretty much, I mean, you know, THT is aging backwards. He's 14.
We got our own Benjamin Button over there.
Yeah, we Benjamin Button him. So yeah, so like there's a lot of young guys. So yeah, so we're, Chris Dunn. That doesn't surprise, like the stories, and we see, I've seen the video like Laird has posted.
Mm-hmm. You know, and on the big fan of what he puts out there. Exactly, like I know some people are trying to say that he puts out a negative message with his stuff.
Right.
Far from it. Keep on posting what you're posting.
Because it's interesting. Like he has a bird's eye view from where his seats are. That's stuff that you're not going to see on a broadcast. Stuff like, I mean, even when I, like, again, when I go over there and shoot games, I'm not going to be able to get, like, that same view. Like, just where I'm at, even with my camera, I can't get that same view, so.
Plus, that's not going to be the main focal point of what you're looking for on the camera. Like, exactly. You're going into your timeout break when you're seeing those things, or during a substitution, you're not going to focus on the guy going all the way to the bench and seeing the interaction there. Mm-hmm. You're going to focus on the next guy coming in and waiting for the next play.
Right.
It's really great seeing that viewpoint, because then you go ahead and get more to the story for things. So especially with Chris Dunn, he wasn't at the game last night. He was out for personal reasons, and I'm really hoping that everything's well for his case. I'm really hoping that it's not speculation of trades or wavering or anything like
Seems a little early for trade talk, right?
THT was already mentioned in trades with Houston when Kevin Porter Jr. was available.
Right. I mean, when the season starts, like aren't like the hard dates? Like, well, I guess we're 2 weeks away. December 15th is one of the hard dates. Then like January like 5th or 15th is another.
So my thing is that Chris Dunn, if I'm not mistaken, his contract isn't 100% guaranteed at the moment. I think it's like at a 66%.
Really? I thought most of it got guaranteed.
Either that, or I'm getting Luka Samanich's contract mixed up, which very well could
because
be the case.
Because that wasn't Chris Dunn the one that in the offseason, like, I mean, he was sick in bed and so. And the reason I know is because, like, you know, one of my buddies, we, you know, we're both big NBA fans, and he thought Dunn was going to cut in the offseason.
See, I thought that was far from it. I thought that was guaranteed because, I mean, with what he went ahead and showed at the end of the season, even though it was essentially like garbage games.
It's not an expensive contract.
He's at like barely over $2 million.
Yeah.
So I would gratefully take that, and especially with the experience he's had, whether it's him being Minnesota, Chicago, making his way down to the G League, he has so much experience, and that can go ahead and rub off onto these younger guys, especially Keyonte. So keeping a guy like him around really can go ahead and show you what this team is doing off the court. Right.
And the one thing that, like, I think a lot of fans, like, we just don't think about it. You mentioned Chris Dunn in a trade, and my automatic thought is like, that's weird because, you know, no one team's gonna be like, oh, you know what, I want to give up something for Chris Dunn. Like, not a lot of teams are gonna be like, I want to give an asset for Chris Dunn, or is Chris Dunn in a package? But if you're gonna package him, like, you know, Chris Dunn and what gets you what, you know? So when I think of like trades, I think of like Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, number one because their salaries are very easily fit into whatever. But like, what are the Jazz looking for? And you know, you're telling me, and you haven't told me what the trade is actually yet, but you said, you're like, I have a trade idea that might piss Jazz fans off. And they're like, okay, well, yeah, I love that. But like, to me, it's one of those, like, I still don't know where the Jazz are. Like, you know, beginning of the year, I'm like, what are the Jazz doing? And to me, it feels like they're still just trying to gather assets. To get, you know, Zach LaVine is a name being thrown out in Jazz land, and, you know, polarizing player. You know, half the Jazz fans are like, oh my God, that would really help us out. And I think I think that's right. He would help us out. Another half of Jazz fans is like, why would we want Zach LaVine? And I was like, and I think that's right, because, like, Zach LaVine's a good player. I don't know if he really, like, when I say move the needle, I mean move the needle toward a championship.
Correct. And I mean, it's really just dependent on whether or not that's the timeline. And I mean, yeah, there's always the speculative timelines for individual players, teams, front office. It's all over the place, and you never really know what the timeline is. But when you're looking at Zach LaVine, you're looking at a $40 million player.
Yes.
How often are you getting a $40 million player in Utah?
Yeah. I mean, are all $40 million players the same?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Like, so, I mean, like
is Zach LaVine, like, on the open market today, is he a $40 million player, or is he more like a $25 million player?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, if he's a $40 million player, I don't want to get, like, a Chandler Parsons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, he won't. But, like, I think the reason that he's on the market is that he's overpriced right now. Like, nobody would want to give him $40 million on the open market right now.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think he still has, like, another 3 or 4 years left on his deal, like, too. It's a hefty contract to take in, but if you're going to be taking in that guy, you better be making moves to go ahead and make yourself in a position to get to a championship, playoffs, what
yes,
have you.
Yes, in the next few years, yes. Mm-hmm. And so we'll come back to that, Zach LaVine, because we're going to talk about this trade offer that you have come up with yourself that you say might piss some Jazz fans off, but you said one of the names. I'm like, oh, you're only going to piss about half the Jazz, maybe even like a third of the Jazz fans off. So, but you're one of those thirds. So go ahead, and give me your idea.
So the trade itself, it's funny that you mentioned when the hard date of December 15th, because this wouldn't be able to be executed until then, because this trade would involve the Jazz, the Grizzlies, and the Bulls.
Okay, all right. So maybe he's Zach LaVine. All right, here we go.
So in this trade, Utah would be giving up Talen Horton-Tucker,
okay,
Colin Sexton, Kelly Olynyk, and their first-round 2026 pick, but it's top five protected.
Okay.
So still a lot of high value there, a lot of larger contracts that would go ahead and be taken off the boards with THT, $11 million off the board, Colin Sexton, $17.3 million off the board, Kelly Olynyk, $12.1 million.
These are all the great, and again, if people who don't understand what I say, it's like these are the great contracts that the Jazz have, because you know you can mix and match these contracts to get to these higher level $40 million players that we're talking about without having to give up a Rudy Gobert to get him back, you know. So,
but with where those players are going, Memphis, they're just being there to be the third team. Yeah. So what they're doing, they're going to go ahead and give up Kenny Lofton Jr., which
the lofty boy,
and I personally love him after watching him 2 years in a row in Salt Lake City Summer League. Love him, and I mean, you're looking at the G League MVP. He's not getting a lot of minutes on their current roster now. Even tonight, if I'm not mistaken, he didn't even play tonight.
I don't remember seeing him. No.
But again, he's always been an issue for Utah during the regular season. Mm-hmm. So I don't see why they didn't at least consider him given their roster. But they would also be giving up their first round 2026 to Utah, but it's lottery protected.
Okay.
So it's not as much of a take for Memphis. It's more of they're really into like the big bodied players. Okay. If you even just look at their roster. So THT would go ahead and fit that for them. Once John Morant comes back, THT would go ahead and be more of
a
bench guy.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think that would be perfect for Memphis, especially with his physique. What he's able to do, and with that bench unit, he wouldn't necessarily have to be the main facilitator with that team, just given that they have more length with their bench unit.
So just this leg of the trade, Memphis gives up Kenny Lofton Jr., a first-round lottery-protected pick to the Jazz, to get back THT.
Correct.
Now the Bulls.
So with the Bulls, to go ahead and make this three-team trade work, Utah would be getting Zach LaVine, so I know you can go ahead and hate me if you want. But the Bulls in full are going to be receiving Colin Sexton, Kelly Olynyk. Memphis would be giving back their golden child in Derrick Rose. Xavier Tillman.
Oh, another one of their favorite power forwards there. Mm-hmm. Another second round pick.
And then they would be getting that top five protected first round pick from Utah.
Okay.
So that does leave some speculation as far as why would they be doing so much? When you look at Chicago's roster, there are quite a few players that you need to go ahead and take into consideration. This is the last year for DeMar DeRozan. This is also the last year for Andre Drummond. It's also going to go ahead and most likely be your last year with Kobe White, since he's being shipped around. So with that being mentioned, you're getting Colin Sexton to replace Kobe White. You're going to go ahead and get Derrick Rose, because Chicago, they would just have a parade the moment they get Derrick Rose back.
Derrick Rose, Jazz killer. He almost killed the Jazz a little bit tonight, too. I'm like, geez.
But then you're getting Xavier Tillman, who's another big body guy that can go ahead and play the four and the five, that can go ahead and replace Andre Drummond as your backup center.
Yeah.
But then you're getting Kelly Olynyk that can go ahead and play that position now.
Olynyk's sort of the and like you like Olynyk a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sort of on
Swiss Army knife, man.
Yes,
I love him.
So, yeah, exactly. I think KO, in a lot of circles, you know, the fans won't see it. But, you know, Danny Ainge saw it. You know, there's a few Jazz fans who are like, oh, yeah, like, you can see the value that he brings. You know,
I mean, Danny Ainge went ahead and saw it from the beginning. He was the man who drafted him.
Yeah. And like, the numbers aren't there, but he does a lot of little things. Rudy Gobert, light, you know, poor man's Rudy Gobert.
But, I mean, like, being able to put that into that Chicago team, which has looked awful this season.
Right.
going ahead and getting that leadership in there where Zach LaVine, he's already 1 foot out the door, it seems like. DeMar DeRozan is looking for his next big deal, but he's on the back end of his career.
He's 33, 32?
Somewhere around there. He's like, I want to say
thirties.
Yeah, early thirties.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're also looking at a guy that's making $26.5 million at 33.
Yep.
For where his main gameplay is the mid range, which is a dying craft.
I mean, here's the thing: we keep saying that, but DeRozan's been doing that for 10 years. And
well, that's the thing. Can you name another player that's living in the mid range besides DeRozan?
34. Wow, he's actually.
Yeah, so
he's a mid-30s.
So that's the thing. So if you're looking at a guy in his mid-30s that lives off a mid-range jump shot,
right?
Are you going to give him $26.5 million? Especially if you're the Chicago Bulls.
I was shocked that he got 26 for the Bulls. I'll be honest, the first time around. So.
But so having those guys making their way out, I think that would go ahead and fill those holes. There are some other players like Terry Taylor. That's on the Bulls that hasn't done anything for them. He was projected to do really well for them and has barely done anything as far as what I've been told from the Bulls fans that I socialize with. So that would go ahead and allow you to expand a little bit more. And then with the trade with Memphis, I already said with THT, another big bodyguard to go ahead and kind of switch things up from, you know, kind of more of a scrawny Ja Morant that can do a little bit of everything, except for shoot threes, in my opinion. but Talen Horton-Tucker, he can go ahead and bring life to that bench unit. And then with Utah, when you go ahead and look at their roster, you're most likely going to be losing Simone Fontecchio unless you go ahead and get him back on a smaller contract again because this is the last year of it. And he's already at like $2.5 million for his contract. And then decide if you get rid of Chris Dunn, that's another $2 million off. Lucas Samanić, once he gets off, another $2 million off. So you want to go ahead and try and replace those roster spots, which most likely will be moving up Taylor Hendricks, Bryce Sensabaugh, which have been looking great in the G League.
That's the hope. That's the hope.
But at the same time, like, I would much rather put them in the G League, get them the minutes, than have them sit on the side, stay cold, and not get the reps that are needed.
We've had this conversation. Well, not you and I, but on this podcast, we have had that conversation. And I mean, look, I think there's merit to that. Like, hey, you know. Actually, I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know where the data says if playing in the G League is better than being the 12th man on the bench for some of these guys. So,
but I mean, you're seeing Bryce Sensabaugh average 26 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds in the G League, and then you even get Taylor Hendricks that is pretty much doing like 15, 10, and like 2.
And like, here's the so now we have that data, and like I'm really hoping that some of that translates to the, like, for me, it's disappointing because, like, you know, the Jazz use the number 9 pick on Taylor Hendricks. And I'm like, if he doesn't really pop off, I mean, if he's out, that's fine. But, like, you know, really wanted the Jazz to really hit a difference maker at number 9. And I'm going to be a little disappointed if he doesn't reach there. But I think if he does become like an average top 8 player, rotation player, that's not a bad place for him to be.
Yeah, and I would be perfectly fine with that. So, like, him getting the minutes, like, I would much rather him get his minutes in the G League, get warmed, get used to the speed of the game, and then maybe come with the Jazz on their off days from the Stars. I would much rather have that than him sitting on the bench every single game, losing confidence, not getting the reps that are needed.
That's true, too.
And then, you know, he's just the high five guy that doesn't even get a seat on at the edge of the bench. He's sitting on the floor. So I would much rather him go ahead and play.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what my expectations for the number 9 pick is.
I was going to say, my expectation is not like, oh, he needs to be starting right now. Like, I mean, shoot, if you're looking at a majority of the top 10 picks in the league right now, they're all shooting under 20% from 3. Which a majority of those guys were expected to be difference makers from the perimeter.
Right, right.
But, I mean, when you got guys like Grady Dick and Asar Thompson and Scoot Henderson that are shooting sub-15% from 3, are you really making a big impact by getting them in your rotation when they're going to go ahead and be more of a damaging asset to your current roster?
Now I'm just more depressed that the Jazz missed out on Victor.
I mean, and so now going back to tonight's game, a really big thing to keep an eye on for this season is really how well or how bad the Jazz play, because you have to remember that this draft class isn't appealing.
Nope.
But the Jazz's 2024 pick is in the hands of how they perform. Mm-hmm. It's top 10 protected. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, it came through the Derek Favors trade.
We remember. We talk about that trade very often.
Just in case you forgot.
We remember.
But Utah wants to convey that draft pick. So if they do better, get that out there. So because if they end up not conveying that pick, they got to give up their own 2025 first-round pick, mm-hmm. which is seen to be almost a little bit better, if not the same caliber as the current draft class that we just experienced. Mm-hmm. So I would much rather the Jazz play better and give OKC that 2024 pick, let them get whoever it is, send them to the G League, whatever. And Utah go ahead and capitalize on their 2025 picks, which, if I'm not mistaken, they have three.
Should be Cleveland, Minnesota, and Utah.
So as long as the Jazz, you know, get that confidence that they found against New Orleans,
yes,
I will be perfectly fine. And I'm perfectly fine if they go ahead and just get a play-in bid. Yes. Just as long as it's not within that top 10, I will be okay. And you know, we can go ahead and get that trade offer in, and the team will look great.
They'll at least look playing worthy. So
yeah, they'll be playing worthy, and they'll probably play against somebody like, I'll probably even say a New Orleans.
Yeah.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, and we're back. We're here with Alma. He's the Highlighter Highlights podcast. To be on the Apple Podcast. Right now, go find it on Spotify and some other places. And then we're bringing in intern extraordinaire Jake Penrod. Jake the Lynx. Hey, man.
Hey, what's up? How's it going, guys?
You know, we had some technical difficulties, but we're finally talking. I want to go back to something that we talked about right before the break. Alma gave us a trade offer here. The Jazz, the Bulls, and the Grizzlies. He was going to trade THT and a 2026 top five protected pick. I'm sorry. No, just THT. THT to the Grizzlies. The Jazz would also give up Kelly Olynyk and Colin Sexton to the Bulls, along with a top five protected 2026 pick to the Bulls. The Jazz would receive Zach LaVine from the Bulls, Kenny Lofton from the Bulls. Xavier Tillman would go from the Grizzlies to the Bulls, and the Jazz would also get back a 2026 lottery protected pick. Is that right?
The only thing that you missed is that the Chicago Bulls would be receiving the one and only Derrick Rose.
And Derrick Rose.
So pulled the heartstrings a little
Chicago
bit.
Chicago legend, Derrick Rose. I did forget about that. How can I forget about Derrick Rose?
Yeah, how can you forget about Derrick Rose?
How can I forget about Jazz legend, Derrick Rose?
Oh, yeah.
Going to.
Only reason why he's recognized.
If Dragon Squatch was here, he would say, who's about to be a wet blanket? Because I'm about to be a wet blanket. From the Jazz perspective, look. If you're going to get a max player in Zach LaVine, who, you know, I don't know where I put him. I think I put him probably in the tier behind wherever Jamal Murray is. Maybe in the same tier. Maybe it's harsh. Maybe he's in the same tier as Jamal Murray because he's still explosive young talent. He's got some flaws, but he also does a lot of things that you can't get from every player in the NBA. He's above replacement level. A max contract player who I don't know if is quote unquote worth that max contract, but we've seen it. So mm-hmm. I think he can hit that ceiling at some point. So from the Jazz perspective, I'm like, all right, cool. So the Jazz are getting up Kelly Olynyk, the Swiss Army man we talked about. THT, they need to clear that logjam regardless. Colin Sexton, same problem. You know, need to clear that logjam regardless. And they actually get this. Their draft pick theoretically drops a little bit. They give up their 2026 pick. Top five, but they get back a 2026 lottery protected draft pick. So I guess that was like one of my main things is if you're going to trade for Zach LaVine, if you're a Jazz fan, if you're playing Twitter GM, trade for Zach LaVine, like, do you want to keep all your assets for the Lucas, for the next, for whoever the next top 10 guy that wants out of their situation? Do you want to have as much ammo as you can to say, all right, cool, here you go, eight draft picks, you know. And if you only give away one to get Zach LaVine, that's probably, in my mind, worth it. Like all right, yeah, like, hey, Zach LaVine right now, I don't know what he is, but let's even rebuild his image, rebuild, mm-hmm. not his image, but rebuild his value. Kind of like what John Collins did, you know, like the Jazz get Rudy Gay and a second round pick. And John Collins says, you know, he hasn't played to, you know, $25 million level yet, but he has looked probably better than what his last year in Atlanta showed.
Oh, by far.
Yeah. Now, the Grizzlies, like, I don't know, did the Grizzlies want to give up? Because the Grizzlies would be losing a draft pick in this scenario to get THT. I don't know. Like, me personally, if I'm a Grizzlies fan, I don't know if I want to give up a draft pick for THT. Sort of the same thing. Like, they're asset poor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they're one of their few assets. I, you know, that's just me. Maybe it is. Maybe they do. Then the Bulls, you know, my whip, like, it is only one draft pick for someone who they paid $40 million to. If that's the market, you know, then they're in real trouble. I think maybe the market's a little higher for Zach LaVine. Maybe not much higher, but, you know.
Like 5 second round picks.
It's 5 second round picks. So, Jake, you heard that. You know, you're more the emotion here. You're my emotion on this podcast because I'm too pragmatic, as Jared would say. Zach LaVine to the Jazz. You're not giving up very much. How do you feel about that trade?
From a Jazz standpoint, I think they would do that no problem. Mm-hmm. You mentioned they don't lose a lot of assets. You know, I don't think any of the players that they lose are huge things that we'd be saving for a Luka trade anyway.
Kelly Olynyk is like, what the hell, man?
Yeah. So, Jazz definitely say yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that the other teams do.
Yeah, that's sort of my problem with it too. But I mean, you know, this again, we do the speculation. We don't know. Like, I mean, this is why I would go into a Memphis Grizzlies forum and be like, hey guys, would you do this and see what their fans do, because maybe they're more in tune. But then again, also some fans are too emotional, too attached. So,
but at the same time, that's why there's people that are in the front office. They're getting paid mm-hmm. the money to go ahead and make right. these decisions, and we are here to speculate.
Yeah, exactly.
We can go ahead and say whatever we want to, but they get paid for it.
So,
first for THT, they would have done that yesterday.
Yeah. So forget about the Bulls. Forget about the Grizzlies. Let's say they do it. You know, let's just say they do it. Jake, you as a Jazz fan, Zach LaVine coming back, and, you know, you're losing those three players, but you're getting Zach LaVine, Kenny Lofton, big boy Kenny Lofton, and you're not really even losing a draft pick. Your draft pick is slightly worse than 2026. So, you know, you lose Olynyk, you lose THT, and you lose Colin Sexton, but you get Zach LaVine. How much better do you feel about that Jazz team?
Slightly better.
Slightly better is good. Like, right now, I don't want to speak for you, but I know a lot of Jazz fans feeling kind of low about this Jazz team, not feeling very good at all about this Jazz team. What that does is Zach LaVine does clear up, like, hey, we know who our lead guard. Our lead guards are Keontae George, Zach LaVine. Our backup point guard, who's left? Jordan Clarkson. So it just feels, you know, instead of four mid combo guards, you have one combo guard who has been a two-time All-Star, I think two times, if I remember correctly. Keontae George, who is a developing combo guard. And then you have Jordan Clarkson, who, you know, he leads the Vibe Tribe in Utah. So,
yeah, I could see Kristoff and Clarkson as backups. I mean, that still sounds fine.
I forgot about Kristoff.
I think it makes us better. I don't think it makes us, you know, how much better does it make us? Does it make the Jazz up to contenders with just that? Make the playoffs?
Championship contenders? I said this to Alma right before you came on. I was like, as far as like needle moving to a championship, no. I think it moves the needle very, very little.
Like, it would move you right to like play in yes. maybe like 7-8 seed. That would be more of the move, because then you got to go ahead and think about long term, mm-hmm. because all of those moves. The reason why I went ahead and picked those assets in particular is because if you look at their contracts for each individual roster, this is the last year for DeMar DeRozan. Kobe White, they're already shipping him out. They're already looking at different trade offers.
I mean,
for
just
him.
From the Jazz, just from the Jazz standpoint, you know, Olynyk. I mean, these guys, you know, Colin, THT, not a lot of them are in the Jazz future regardless. THT's, you know, on his last year's contract. I think Olynyk, same thing too. Colin's got a very Colin's got a few years, but like
Sexton has a 3-year contract.
It just feels like Sexton's also on his way out. You know, the Jazz could build around Sexton, but it just doesn't seem like they're going to.
But with that move, you would go ahead and be able to move both Taylor Hendricks and Bryce Hensabaugh into the actual active roster. Mm-hmm. They would most likely get some sort of rotational minutes. Then you would go ahead and have Kenny Lofton Jr., the G League MVP last year, mm-hmm. to go ahead and at least do something, because he isn't doing anything for the Grizzlies right now. He didn't even play for them tonight when they are using emergency contracts for people and just to fill their roster.
I think I guess if this was a precursor, because we talk about Danny Ainge, the Kevin Garnett move doesn't happen without the Ray Allen move, right? Mm-hmm. So is this the Ray Allen, hey, Lauri Markkanen, we know the Jazz are going to throw the Brinks truck at him in the offseason. So there's one max contract player already on your roster. Then you have the second person, Zach LaVine. You're not going to get a Zach LaVine in free agency. No one's going to sign in Utah for $40 million. No. But if you're giving up not even really a first-round pick to get Zach LaVine, you're trading spare parts, you know, you're taking the chance that Zach LaVine can at least get back to a third banana role. Depending on who you get, you know, maybe it's Luka. Maybe it's we always go Luka, and Luka's the easy name, so we'll stay with Luka. But you go get Luka from the Mavericks with all the assets. You know, Mark Cuban's trying to sell off his shares anyway. So
sell off the players.
Right. So I mean, it won't be this year, but next year, next offseason. The Jazz somehow have Luka, Lowry, and LaVine as your big three. How much better do you feel about that Jazz team?
How many years does Luka have, or not Luka? Does LaVine have left on his contract?
LaVine's on a 4-year contract.
3 or 4, yeah.
Okay, so that's appealing to the Jazz.
Yeah, right. Like you got to build long term, and you got to make. You know, like if the Jazz traded 80% of their assets for Luka Doncic right now, the Jazz still wouldn't be that much closer. I mean, they'd be closer, but they won't be. I wouldn't think they'd be a favorite to be a championship contender, right? Because like a lot of teams are trying to go for the big three. They're trying to get that third person. The Jazz have the second with Lowry, but and that brings me to like the sort of the big point, because one of the Jazz beat writers. He's usually very optimistic, very cheery about the Jazz, even when it's down. And before the Memphis game, was like, hey, boy, the Jazz are close. And I don't know, like the Jazz are close, and I don't know what close means. I don't know if he's talking about close to being a playoff contender, a play-in contender. You know, I don't think they're close to championship. Maybe he meant a championship contender, but... I mean, I saw you, Jake. You asked him a question on that thread, like, where do the Jazz need to get close? To you, Jake, how close are the Jazz to be? And I'm gonna be specific here, to being a championship contender.
It's so hard to tell because, you know, one game they look a lot better, and the next they look like a totally different team. Like the team that played against the Pelicans is not the same. You know, if they would have played like that against the Grizzlies, they probably would have not lost by 15 points or whatever it was.
Let's say it was basically a 20-point loss. Like, I know they got closer at the end, but, I mean, that was Basura time. Right, Basura time. So, same question to you, Alma. Like, I'm sure you saw that tweet mm-hmm. earlier, and it said, you know, the Jazz are close, and then people took umbrage with it. And, again, it was like, what are we close to? Like, are they close to a playing team? I think they're close to a playing team. Like, even as bad as they played today, like – But again, I think the play-in is such a low bar. You know, top two-thirds of the NBA, I think, is a low bar. When I think close, I'm thinking championship contender. How close is this Jazz team to a championship contender?
Championship contender, I would go ahead and say if you keep the current roster right now and just simply build from the draft itself, mm-hmm. don't consider the trade offer I got there.
Right.
I think that it's still at least till the end of Lowry's current contract. I think that you have till the end of his contract to get that done and be considered like a playoff team.
Do you say current contract?
Current contract.
Is that not this year? Is he eligible for extension this
year? So he's eligible for an extension, but it's like a early-ish thing. Like, he still has, like, 2 years left.
Okay, okay.
So, like, I would say by the end of his contract, if the Jazz aren't seen as a playoff contender, then it's a bust for this whole situation. But as far as being play-in, I just think that they need consistent leadership. So if that means that you need to go ahead and, you know, get Chris Dunn more minutes or just have him around your guys more, I think that that would be perfect. Or even maybe even next year.
Right.
One guy that I think maybe the Jazz should look at, he's not very appealing on paper in my opinion, but he'll be available. He'll be definitely a large veteran leadership role. Patty Mills.
Yeah,
I mean, you've seen him lead teams, whether it's in Brooklyn or if you want to go ahead and take him to the national team for Australia. He's shown that he will go ahead and go out of his way to be a leader for those younger guys. And I'm sure that he'd be willing to take a veteran minimum to go ahead and help a guy like Keyonte George.
Jazz do love their Aussies. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whether they play well or not.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, they, Jake talked about the inconsistencies. Like, hey, the Pelicans and the Grizzlies. And I think that's sort of like the NBA, like, the real good teams, like the teams that you are like just you feel good about in your bones are the teams that are like the Jazz from a couple years ago, the ones that were number one in the NBA. They were pretty consistent night in, night out.
Even last year felt consistent.
What was that?
Even last year's team felt pretty consistent.
Oh yeah, until the trade deadline.
Yeah, until the trade deadline, and then there was no leadership. And then it was like, there was no
like,
passing.
Like, we know what the game is right now, guys. And then but then 2 years ago, the last year of Rudy Donovan, that reminds me of that. Like there was no consistency. He had no idea. That Jekyll and Hyde team was frustrating. So like when there's that much inconsistency in a team, it feels to me like, oh yeah, like this Jazz team just doesn't feel consistent enough to have me put them in even like top 4 or 5 in the West. So I think they're pretty far, and I think that's fair to say they're pretty far away from that, and that's fine. Like, look, they're doing a lot of things. They're gathering assets. They're trying to get Keyonte and their other rookies, some minutes, some experience, just to like get a feel for what they want to do. I don't think they're good enough with Taylor Hendricks. We talked about Hendricks today. In the G League, and Hendrick, like he threw down on a good drive today. He hits threes. It's what the Jazz saw and they liked about him. They saw that he was very raw. They saw that he, like, you can't teach his body length, right? That's the thing. You can't teach that. So that's what they like. They're like, hey, like Giannis, right? And I keep making the Giannis comparison, but I think that's what they want. They want somebody like, hey, this guy is freakishly long. No matter who we draft, who's more ready for the NBA, they won't be as long as this guy. And if you can just get this guy to speed in a year or two, then you can unlock it. You know, he has the ability to hit threes. He's got a small hitch in the shot, but if he fixes that, I'm not saying it's likely. I'm saying at least they want to try. So,
well, I know when I was looking at like the full draft class before I went ahead and did my article on like who I think the Jazz should take, like the closest thing that I could go ahead and make for Taylor Hendricks was that he's just a slender Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yep.
If you went ahead and watched any AAC basketball, UCF, he essentially did what Jaren Jackson did, just like 60 pounds lighter.
Mm.
I mean, you're throwing him out on the perimeter. He can go ahead and be a threat on the three. He has a heavy post presence, and he can go ahead and, like, back you down. He can go ahead and get posterizing dunks, no problem. And he's done plenty so far in the G League.
That beat writer said the same thing tonight. He's like, hey, Taylor, like, JJJ is the role. That's the blueprint for what they want for Taylor Hendricks. And, that was a polarizing there were quite a few Jazz fans who were not happy with that. And maybe because again, it's like the difference between Giannis and JJJ, there's a huge gap.
Definitely. But I mean, you also got to realize that Giannis was a diamond in the rough, something that no one expected when he was drafted. That was totally just, let's see what happens. And then he just became the Greek freak that he is now. But when you drafted him, what did you see? You can even say the same as Rudy. I'm not putting them in the same conversation, but when you drafted them, they were both very slender projects that if they were not given the time, then they aren't who they are now. So give Taylor Hendricks the time. He can go ahead and become not that guy, but I think that he can go ahead and get closer to what that
archetype was.
All right, say the Jazz make a trade for JJJ. How good do you feel about the Jazz? JJJ and Lowry are your two main pieces, and you still have enough assets to maybe get one more player.
If you were to go ahead and do that, that would mean that you would have to go ahead and probably move John Collins to your bench unit, just mm-hmm. because you're going to go ahead and have a lot of focus on your front court. So Markkanen, JJJ, Kessler. Mm-hmm. That right there, who wants to drive into that? No one.
Jake, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it sounds like a great front court. Yeah.
And so I don't think the Jazz are training for JJJ, but if you can train Taylor Hendricks to become JJJ in 2 years, you know, in 2 seasons, if you can get a JJJ light, not quite a poor man's, but, you know, just JJJ,
the free trial.
90% JJJ from Taylor Hendricks, then all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, Taylor Hendricks. Oh, you got Keontae George, who's getting better. Then you have Lowry. You know, Kessler's still there. You know, Collins still there. And then that's when, you know, like, okay, cool. Now then you get the Zach LaVine. Then all of a sudden, yeah, you're top four team in the West. And then, I mean, again, depending on what you give up to get Zach LaVine or what, you know, insert whatever player. Instead of, if you hate Zach LaVine, fine. Go find another $40 million player that has flaws. Yeah, and say that name instead in your head. and then, you know, go get the, again, if it's not Luka, go find whoever it is else that you think is going to be a top five player for the next few years. I think that's what the Jazz plan is, right? Like, you're hoping that Taylor Hendricks develops into something that you can use, that is startable, that is cheap. Then also you have two rookies from this class that are, you know, maybe not all-star. They won't be all-stars because the team is too crowded, but they will be, you know, Jamal Murray.
They'll put the NBA on watch.
Yeah, if you can get to the Jamal Murray tier of those players, that's pretty good.
I mean, shoot, the fact that you had on ESPN the other night for SportsCenter, top 10, Jazz had two of the top 10 plays. How often do you get to hear that the Utah right. Jazz have, let alone one top right. play on SportsCenter? It never happens. So the fact that you already have people talking about it, you had people talking about them with the in-season tournament with their first two wins there, purple courts, everybody wanted to talk about it. So the fact that Utah is currently in a conversation, whether it's positive, negative, they're in a conversation. So it's going to go ahead and just go up from there, in my opinion, especially if you're going to go ahead and be able to develop Taylor Hendricks the way that they are anticipating. Utah should be in that area, because the only like comp that you can have to it, like team wise, and I personally don't like making the comp, is OKC.
Right.
I mean, they went ahead and had their big star, Paul mm-hmm. George, at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then they went ahead and traded for SGA, which right. was star, which yep. you could go ahead and say, we got rid of Donovan Mitchell and got
Lowry
Markkanen.
Yes.
And then next thing you know, they went ahead and popped off. You got all the assets from that. Mm-hmm. You went ahead and got a lot better from said assets. Yep. So
the one thing that OKC has, they've drafted fairly well. They've used their assets in the draft fairly well. The one thing that I think people are waiting for, and you know, the Jazz fans who want to model after OKC, is like, can they turn one of the rest of their assets they have now into something else? Because the assets that they have are like what they've used. You know, Josh Giddey, who, you know, some problems right now, but last year had a very good year.
Mm-hmm.
They have SGA. I mean, you have SGA, who's he's one of the top guards in the NBA. You know, he's a top six guard. He made the All NBA team. Very good team, perennial All Star.
And is seen as an MVP candidate this year.
Chet Holmgren, Rookie of the Year candidate.
My personal rookie right. of the year candidate. I'll put that out there.
So they went and got a number two pick, and that works. That's going to work out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it, at least. So now their next step is to, whatever rest of the assets they have, go get.
And you also have to remember, in that process too, they went ahead and got Chris Paul, which mm-hmm. no one yeah. thought Chris right. Paul was going to do anything there, and then they went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to go ahead and compare that timeline, mm-hmm. I am more than willing to invest in a team for, say, 5 years to go ahead and have that sort of timeline, especially since what I think OKC is seen as like a 4-5 seed at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, so I would much rather have that progression, maybe lose a little bit of fandom in the process because you're not getting yeah, as many wins right, as you're used to. I mean, Jazz being a all-time top 5 right. percentage team.
So if I summarize what you guys, we just, the question was, how close we think the Jazz are.
You know, I think the three of us are sort of in agreement that the Jazz are not close to a championship contender. Like, if they can make a couple moves, maybe get the play in, but championship contender, they're so. But the moves that they kind of have to make, we have to see them develop the rookies, develop them. You know, if Keontae just develops, that's fine. But if you can get Keontae and one of the other guys to develop as well, or just two of the three, then you're in pretty good shape. Then you got some really cost controlled, really good assets there. You can make a small trade for Zach LaVine or whoever. And then if the Jazz have enough assets to make that big trade, all of a sudden you look really good. So they're not close, but there are things that they could do to incrementally get better. It doesn't have to be all at once.
Okay, you know?
How soon do you want to get better? Like, how patient are the – if it takes 2 years before the Jazz do anything to improve?
So, yeah, I thought they were going to be this bad for like 3 years, including last year.
And I feel like that should have been the expectation for a lot of Jazz fans the moment you got rid of Rudy and Donovan.
What was that, Jake? Sorry.
If we go get Zach LaVine now, did they – not get a good draft pick for the next couple of years? Do they get too
well?
Good, too
bad? So part of the reason, like, if you get Zach LaVine now, you're giving up that 2024 pick this year, which we already talked about, like, not that great a draft. You give the 2024 pick this year, but then you have then you're guaranteed to have the three, you know, the Minnesota, the Cleveland, and your own pick in 2025. And look, like, you can talk me into either. Like, tell me the Jazz get a good pick in 2024. Maybe the Jazz are just really maybe the Jazz are just like, hey, we want to make sure our three draft picks that we got this year, Taylor Hendricks, Bryce Sensabaugh, and Keontae George, we want two of those three guys to hit this year. And it doesn't really matter what we do with, you know, the draft picks in 2024, 2025, because we're focused on, you know, developing, because you can't just keep developing rookies. That's the problem, is that, you know, if Keontae George hits, you're probably not going to be able to, like, to really develop your next rookie in 2024. It's just too hard to try to develop everybody at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Do you have a follow-up to that question, Jake?
No.
Well, that's just my opinion. If the Jazz are all in on the rookies this year, if they're all in on Keontae George and Taylor Hendricks and Bryce, I always forget Bryce. I don't forget. I just leave him out. Bryce Sensabaugh. Then you're probably not. You probably don't care who you're drafting in 2024 or 2025 for that matter, because, like, you're really hoping that you got the guys in your locker room right now. If you don't, then that's that equation changes for me. If they think that their ceilings are not top four in a championship team, these guys should be guaranteed starters, then yeah, you might have to wait another year, because you have to get the team that win championships, they draft their superstars. You know, the Bucks, the Nuggets, the Warriors. Who else has won in recent memory? The Celtics have always been there. Have been a top. You know, the Sixers, like the teams that we think of perennial favorites. Those teams eventually traded to the other guys, but their main stars are the guys that they drafted and grew from the ground up. So I think that's probably the most important part for the Jazz, is to get, if it's Keontae, if it's Taylor, if it's the 2024 pick, 2025 pick, get that rookie in there that you think is the guy. And then after that, you can kind of start doing everything else. But that's where I'm at, I guess. And if you get Zach LaVine, if you get whoever, if the Jazz decide they want to go for the play-in this year, if they think they have enough assets to spend one to two minor assets, you know, a couple draft picks to bring somebody in, and they still have enough assets to get the real big fish in the next year or two, I could be okay with that too. Like, I'm not mad at it. Like, look, the wins and losses, I just don't think matter that much this year. Because I think the Jazz are, if I had to guess, I think they're looking for the big fish in a trade. So, anyway, Jake, final words here. You have any thoughts here? Because the Zoom's going to run out on you. So this is your chance to get any questions in.
What do you think? Do you think the Jazz are going to make a trade this year? I think they want to, with the expiring contracts of, you know, Kelly Olynyk and THT and people, if they can get something for that.
I think Trader Dan is I think the Jazz are going to make a trade. What are they going to trade for? I don't know. I don't know if they're trading for LaVine or they're trading for other flippable assets. So I think they're going to make a trade. I just don't know what it's going to be for.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat with that one. Like, granted, I would love if my trade came through, but and I'm sure a lot of Jazz fans, with the lack of assets in it, I'm sure they would love
it
too.
Right, yes.
But the phone's always ringing.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to go ahead and figure out what the market is.
Do you think he's going to try to get some, like, is he going to try to get somebody that's going to help him this year?
I don't think that he tries to go for somebody that will help him this year because I think that as long as they go ahead and get outside of that top 10 range, I think that that's considered a success in the front office perspective because there are so many people that are going to go ahead and be available in that 2025 pick, draft class, like Cooper Flagg and even Boozer's kid is in there. Right. So,
what do you think, Jake? Are the Jazz trading for somebody this year to help them?
I think they want to.
Yeah, okay.
But, I mean, is there a team out there that wants THT for somebody good?
Well, I mean, that's the thing is that if you want somebody that's kind of good, THT is like salary filler and THT, but you'll probably have to give an asset or two to get somebody that's okay. Like Zach LaVine is not great, but he's good, you know, and he has a chance to be better. So you might get a damaged asset. I think that's possible. The Jazz traded for John Collins, right? I think a similar trade of like that could happen. So.
And to be honest, like I think the market for THT is more of like a rebuildish-esque team. Like you could go ahead and see him going to a place like Houston or Detroit. Yeah.
Or somebody who just needs a backup point guard. So someone just like, hey, we don't want THT getting a ton of minutes, but we need somebody to come in to give our star, you know, John Morant was I thought that was a good one. It was like John Morant needs a break. Bring THT in.
And Memphis likes to have big body guys on their team, so THT, I think, would fit for Memphis.
Jake, tell people where they can follow you on the Twitter.
If you want to follow me, I am at Jake Penrod.
Jake
the Lynx.
Jake the Lynx, Jake Penrod. You know, he'll talk Magic the Gathering with you. He'll talk Utah Jazz. He's an audiophile. Is that the name for that? He's our intern. He's going to help me produce good sounding podcasts. So that's nice. So, Alma, where can they follow you on the Twitter?
Twitter, you can go ahead and follow me at AlmaBean23.
He's a big Laurie Marketing fan. So. Lowry. I keep saying Lowry. Lowry.
Yeah, you got to get it right.
Yeah, Lowry. Lowry. Michael Lowry. He writes for The Hive. He's part, welcome to the Jazz Pod Co-op. This is your official welcoming in to the Jazz Pod Co-op. The highlights there. I want to thank the Believe Network for letting us believing in hitting the high notes to be the Jazz podcast for the network. Thoughts out to DJ Honeypaws and our good friend Dragon Squatch. They're going through some turmoil right now. Go to her page, retweet, repost her tweets to help them help them out. For Go This Is 49, I hope he's okay too. I don't know where he was here and he was gone. So. for Alma, thanks for coming in. He had to pay for parking. He paid to be on this podcast.
Yeah,
which is,
they told
which
me
is
to
nuts.
Pay the $10 for parking, and I'm
$10?
Like,
$10? My God,
it's 10:30 at night.
Yeah,
if you want to park in this outdoor lot, you got to pay $10.
Yeah,
and I was like,
my
all
God.
Right. And which when I was walking in, I went ahead and checked to see how long my parking was for. 6 p.m.
Yeah, so like
it's, so I was like, thanks.
Yeah,
I'm only here till like 12:30.
Yeah, I mean, but you can leave your car overnight at 6 p.m. I think you should
to prove a point.
Out of principle, stay till 6 p.m.
I'll take the tracks.
Jake, now you have to come to Salt Lake now so you can be in the studio with us.
Okay.
Jake, I was like, it's funny because I asked Alma to be on. Yeah, I asked Alma to be on, and when I talked to Jake about being on, I was like, guys, I can't record till like 11 p.m. So that's, and Jake was like, oh yeah, I can record anytime. 11 p.m. That's not a problem. Alma was like, Wednesday's my day off. 11 p.m. Like I'm like, you come to my office at 11 p.m. We will do this live. So
he's like, no problem.
No problem at all.
Just
$10
parking.
Just parking. Yeah, just freaking parking. Thank you, Alma. Thank you, Jake, for getting us in the second half here. Follow us at Jazz Hinos #2 and at Who Trust Superman. And we'll see you guys next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done.
At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.